four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Natalie Kaplan, March 10th, 1998. Natalie, would you please tell us your birth date?
Okay. It's May.
You can change it.
It's May 20th, 1930.
Natalie, at our last interview, I think we got you up to Chatham College and the Carriage House. Can you fill us in on what happened there, or maybe review a little, and then bring us over here to the Carriage House at Whiteman School?
Okay. Well, I think where we left off, we were talking about how we got to Chatham.
Right.
And we spent 11 years in the Carriage House of Benenham Hall. And we fixed the Carriage House up, and it was really a very nice place. We had one fire one summer, and we had to leave the facility for a little bit. Chatham gave us space for our summer program, and then we spent, I think, 2 months at Rudder Scholem because they didn't have a preschool at the time. And then when it was all cleaned up, we went back to the Carriage House. But while we were there, Chatham was experiencing some financial difficulties.
May I interrupt you one moment? Could you describe the school a little bit? How many kids were there? What the setup was there?
The setup was that we had, when we started out, we just took 3 and 4 year old children. Mm-hmm. And the mission statement was that we would provide quality programming for children regardless of whether they were there full-time or part-time. And when we first moved in, it was just one big empty carriage house, and we had to fix it up to be appropriate. Eventually, we also fixed up the second floor and the basement. The year we opened, we started out in September with 18 children, and by the end of the year, we had 48 children.
Oh my goodness. How old were the children?
Three and four.
And where did you draw from?
There were some Chatham families, but mainly the Squirrel Hill, Shady Side mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. And, but we did have the flexibility in scheduling. Although we had part-time, we were open every day from 7:30 until 6.
Till 6.
So
it was really...
So some children would come, and my biggest concern, having been a early childhood professional, was that when some of the children would see parents coming at 1 o'clock mm-hmm. for the children, then they would be upset and they would want to go home mm-hmm. at the same time. Actually, what had ended up happening, the kids were having such a good time mm-hmm. that they didn't want to go home mm-hmm. and they wanted to stay longer. So, but it allowed a lot of part-time scheduling. If a mother was going to school or if she was working a couple days, she could come early some days and stay late. And as I say, this was in 1974, before a lot of this was as popular mm-hmm. as it is now.
So what you did is offer a flexible schedule mm-hmm. to meet the needs of women who had young children and were working or going to school.
Right.
Or needed rest
or
time.
Needed yeah. time.
Right. Or they wanted their children to have an enriched program.
Right.
How many staff did you have?
Oh, at that time, we probably started out with about 5 staff people. Mm-hmm. And I was part-time director and part-time secretary. And, mm-hmm. and I was only supposedly working part-time. And finally, one of my teachers said to me, you know, you're not too reliable. You're always being called to the phone, and mm-hmm. the children need you more. So eventually, I really couldn't be as involved.
You mean in the classroom?
In the classroom. Mm-hmm. And gradually, we fixed up the center. And we, as I say, we had a board of directors. And mm-hmm. Eventually, Chatham had loaned us our startup money. Mm-hmm. And eventually, we paid them back. Mm-hmm. and had fixed up their facility very, very nicely.
With funds from the tuition that the children pay,
right.
The parents pay. You, mm-hmm. That's what you invested in their, mm-hmm. You turned the money over to them.
Now, we were running as a separate nonprofit board.
I see.
They did not charge us rent for the first couple of years.
I see.
And they loaned us the startup funds,
okay.
Which I think were like $5,000 back then,
uh-huh.
Which eventually we paid back.
Okay.
And then over the years, we added a two-morning two program, and we found out that children needed, if they weren't there a full day, some of them needed to be separated a little bit. And eventually we started a kindergarten program. But we had a lot of fun there,
mm-hmm.
And the parents were very involved,
mm-hmm.
And it really worked out very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Chatham. I lived through 5 college presidents.
Oh, my word. In 11 years.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. What a turnover.
Yeah. The first president who was there who helped us get started was Ted Eddy, who had been there for many, many years.
He had 5 daughters.
Yeah. Then he left, and they had a... really good woman named Alberta Arthurs, and she left to take a job in New York, I think, with one of the foundations. And her final words to me when she left, don't ever let them let you leave this campus.
Oh, nice.
But that was nice. And then they had a acting president for a while. And the last president they had when I was there was a woman by the name of Rebecca Stafford, who left shortly thereafter. But they were really experiencing financial problems, and they ended up selling the property where Benenham Hall is, and we were in the carriage house at Benenham Hall. So that was the point in history where we had to leave. But while we were still at Chatham, the Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition had acquired the Whiteland School building from the city. And they had gotten this building with 2 deed restrictions. It couldn't compete with the Pittsburgh Public Schools, and it had to offer community services.
They got it, you told me, I think. You
they got it for a dollar.
For a dollar, right. That was the price was surely right.
The price was right. And their goal, or their hope, was that they would be able to fix the building up and make money so forth. But when you have a 100-year-old building or close to it, it's a little difficult to do. They had done a needs assessment in the community, and in the Squirrel Hill area, there was no care for infants and toddlers. This was in 1980. And they wanted to know if anyone were willing to start a center for infants and toddlers.
You had children at age two.
We had, up at the carriage house, we took children that we called our 2 morning twos.
Uh-huh.
But we never provided full daycare for 2-year-olds.
Okay.
And we certainly didn't offer
infant care. Right.
But that's what one of the needs that they determined was needed in the Squirrel Hill area. The other thing that they determined at the same time that was needed in the Squirrel Hill area was daycare for the elderly.
Oh.
And I think if you look back, National Council of Jewish Women was talking to them about at the same time about seeing if they could provide some child care, or some daycare for the elderly.
That ultimately became council care.
Yes, and it ended up being at the home, what's now called Riverview.
Right.
I guess it was then called the home, Jewish Home for the Aged.
Right.
But we had met with them several times, and because I was on a college campus, I was very good friends with another woman by the name of Marcia Poster, who was directing the CMU Child Care Center. So together, we decided, since both of our programs really were, the full-day programs were really for 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, we decided we might be interested in working together to start an infant program. Of course, this was really very new at that time. Mm-hmm. We had even approached the JCC to see if they wanted to work with us because they didn't have anything like this at the time.
May I ask you a question? What was going to happen to the Carriage House children if they were if they sold the property in your?
Well, this was before. The part I'm telling you now
is before the property was... Okay.
So we still had our program up at Chatham at that time. This was in 80 or 81. We didn't leave Chatham until 80... This was 85.
Okay, so this is quite a few years before.
This was before.
Uh-huh.
So it ended up that we did a lot of neighborhood meetings, talked to a lot of families. Uh-huh. And I, as I say, the Jewish Community Center at this time was kind of interested, but they said they didn't want to get involved with anyone else. If they were going to start their program,
they'd do it.
They'd do their own thing.
What was your vision of this program, of the infant and toddlers program? Where were you going to have it?
It was going to be here in Whiteman School.
So you're going to leave the Carriage House?
No, this was just for the infants and toddlers. This was meeting the need from the Scroho Urban Coalition. And they had this space, and they were promoting it, and so forth. So we ended up giving it a try. And in 1981, November of 1981, we started in this building, in the lower level.
Where they are now.
Where they are now, an infant toddler program. And Marcia and I were the co-directors.
Mm-hmm.
But it all came under the umbrella of the Carriage House because we had our own 501c3, which
is our nonprofit
status.
And Carnegie Mellon is not...
It wasn't part of Carnegie Mellon.
Okay.
But Carnegie Mellon parents got preference to come to the program, and we opened it up to the community. That took a little bit longer time to get started. We thought we would hopefully start with about 8 children, but we started with about 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us a little bit longer to pick up more infants, because this was such a new thing.
You staffed it. How did you staff it? You weren't here in the building.
Well, Marcia and I would both spend time here.
Okay.
I had a teacher who worked for me at the Carriage House who had left to have her own child, and she had a baby, and she was willing to come back and help. And then we hired another woman by the name of Genevieve Mann. So Mary Snyder and Genevieve Mann kind of co-directed it. They were the ones who were here all the time.
Did she come with her baby?
Yes, Mary came with her baby.
Very neat.
So she only worked part-time at the time, but I'll tell you more about her later.
Okay.
And so they really got it started. The building was in pretty bad condition, and the coalition really didn't have a lot of money to fix it up at the time.
Their kids downstairs, they had to really need to...
And we had to get our own occupancy permit for the building. So we started that program there. 1981. We started out, we were using the two rooms that I had showed you on the one side of the building, and for a while all the children were in one room and napping in another room. And then gradually it picked up, and then we added the third room every year. So we were here for a good 4 years. During this same time period, I was asked to run a program for McGee Women's Hospital. So, started that in 1984.
Chatham didn't care that you were spreading yourself kind of thin?
Chatham didn't care. We had our own board of directors.
Oh, it had nothing to do with Chatham. They were just giving you the...
Chatham team. Was just at that time, our landlord, because
okay,
by then we were
paying them rent.
So they didn't care. We just went through our own board of directors.
And they had no objection to your sort of spreading yourself thin? Did you have any uphill battle on that?
No.
No, they didn't care.
Because we were providing quality care for children, and that was part of our mission statement. And the fact that we were working with the hospital that is well known as McGee and so forth, I think they felt that this was,
okay
to do. And so then what ended up happening, Mary, who was working here, this was about three years later, she took over the direction of the center for McGee.
McGee, okay.
And Jen Mann stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you really didn't, by then you didn't need two people, and we hired staff to work with the children. Mm-hmm. And one of the original caregivers that we hired to work with the infants is still here.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. How many years is
that? Let's see, was it 19? She had finished Carlo, and she came here as a student, so it was about 1982, so that's 16.
That's terrific. She knows the ropes.
She knows the ropes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so by then, Carriage House had a management agreement with, they had a management agreement with McGee to run what is called the Children's Center of Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
which we still have.
Mm-hmm.
But then you ask the question, well, what happened to us
at Chatham
when Chatham decided to sell off the property?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we looked at all, we had a board, we looked at all different kinds of spaces where we could move. And what ended up happening, which is kind of a unique kind of experience. Well, the first thing we did is that we kind of came to the coalition again, but we had a talk with them, and we had to get out fast. They sold the property, and we had to be out by that summer. So we ended up renting space from the First Unitarian Church.
At Moorwood.
At Moorwood, where I had taught school for 15 years. They lost their program, and they no longer had one. So we spent a year.
You came full circle.
Spent a year at the First Unitarian Church. And during the summer, because we had a pretty large summer camp program, so for two summers we used Winchester Thurston's kindergarten room.
Mm-hmm.
And the Unitarian Church. They were right across the street from each other. So, and it worked out well.
I bet it did.
It wasn't quite as, you know, it was small. The Unitarian Church was small for us at that point, because we probably had, at least 90 children in the Carriage House by then.
Well, did you have that many at the Unitarian Church? Were you able to take that many?
We were able. We used all sides of the building. We used more space than we used when we were there as a preschool.
The first time.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we kept communicating with the Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition, because at one point they had rented their first floor to the Hebrew Institute, and the Hebrew Institute had left. So there was space here available.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we could rent space from them for the Carriage House. And the two boards were working on it.
The Squirrel Hill Coalition
board and the Carriage House board.
Okay. You'll tell us who some of the board members were.
We thought we were really pretty close. I came to the meeting the night I thought it was all going to happen, and someone got up and said, I don't know if two nonprofit corporations can really coexist in this building, because we needed to fix the building up. The building was not up to code.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to loan them some money, because we had been saving money, because we knew something like this might happen. As it turned out, they went back and they met, and the coalition ended up selling the building to the Carriage House.
In other words, they got out of it.
They got out of it.
Wow, that was a gutsy move for the Carriage House board to buy a building.
So we bought the building. The building that we that they got for a dollar, we ended up giving paying $100,000 for, but we didn't pay any money up front. In other words, the deal we made with them is that we would pay them like a mortgage.
They would hold the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing to lose.
No. So we paid them the mortgage. And
out of your income from
mm-hmm. It would be like paying rent.
Right, right.
And in addition, we would give them free rental space.
Okay.
So,
how about taxes and that kind of stuff? Who paid it, you or they?
Well, the taxes, that's an interesting story that you should bring the taxes up, because it was a...
I have a tough fiscal mind.
It was a tax-exempt building when we took it over.
Oh, okay.
But when we got it, they want the city and state or county wanted taxes. Even though we were nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And it was at the same time that all the hospitals were going through all this problem with taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So we met and we negotiated with the city and the school board to pay some taxes.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they didn't raise our taxes, we would agree that we would be good citizens and pay some taxes.
Mm-hmm.
This last year, with all this stuff going up,
mm-hmm.
I have to go to appeal on Thursday because now, because the building is so much nicer, they've raised our taxes so that we can't afford to pay the taxes here anymore. But the building still has the same two deed restrictions. It's got to provide community services, which child care is,
mm-hmm.
and it cannot compete with the school board. So we don't go beyond kindergarten.
So you are still a nonprofit, and they're raising your taxes sky high. Please, do you have a case, Natalie?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Good.
So we're now appealing to become tax exempt again,
mm-hmm.
because they could keep doing this to
right.
us. And we feel that the law is really on our side. We do give some scholarships. We don't get any money from United Way or United Jewish Federation. I mean, we don't get that kind of money. So,
what money do you get? Just from the tuition?
From tuition, yeah. And
anything else?
Well, to fix up the building,
yeah.
we got a lot of foundation support.
Pittsburgh Foundation?
A lot of foundations.
Isn't that wonderful?
There's a whole list of foundations.
Isn't that
right? And to fix up the building to the point where I showed you around the other
right.
day, we have already gotten, either in fundraising, through appeals or foundation support, $1 million.
Is that right?
But we need about another $300,000, I guess, to finish the third floor. So we've been
well, you'll
fortunate.
Do it. If you come this far, you'll do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot.
It's a lot of work. It
takes me
away a little bit from being a child care director, but it's been an exciting career.
It's wonderful.
It's and I've gotten to work with some wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, we've had some wonderful presidents and board members.
Tell us about your board a little bit. Some of the people, some of the highlights of your board membership.
Well, our very first president was a woman you may know. She's a social worker, Marcia Marcus. Marcia Marcus. We had Joyce Braunberger. They both went on to get their PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple non-Jewish presidents. We had a wonderful woman by the name of Kathy Yovasacker, who was a parent. Most of our board members and presidents were parents.
Of small children?
Started out with children here and kept on.
Uh-huh.
Pat Seiger was a president.
I know her name, but I don't know her.
She now is the executive director of Family House.
Right.
Susie Jordan, who is a lawyer, and both of her children came to the carriage house. In fact, her daughter was one of the first ones to come to the infant program.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. She and her husband are both lawyers, as I said.
Do you have any men on the board?
Oh, we have men on the board, and currently we have... our last president was Nancy Polinsky Johnson.
Oh, my.
She was president.
She had children here?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Her two boys went here, and she was president. And our current president is our first male president.
Who is that?
And his name is Fred Serino.
Fred?
Serino.
What does he do?
Right now he's at the Kidney Foundation, but he's going back to WQED as membership director.
So you have some pretty high power.
We have some really wonderful people. Actually, my son-in-law is our treasurer.
He's that right? Well, he's pretty wonderful.
Yeah. My husband's been on the board since its inception, Larry, who's been my guiding light through this whole thing. I don't think I could have done any of this without him. I mean, he's been my advisor and has really been interested in everything.
That's terrific.
That we,
what interests me is I had this vision of high-powered corporate people on the board to have evolved this wonderful building and raised the funds. But really, that's not so.
No.
We have interested parents, essentially, who are bright women, mostly, right?
And we do have men. We have more men on the board now.
Uh-huh.
But most of our board members have come through the fact that they've had children.
Right.
Except we have one interesting story, Stanley Makaroff.
Oh, I know him.
You know Stanley?
I do.
Well, he's been a very, very active board member here for a long time. His grandchildren ended up coming here.
Uh-huh.
But he was kind of representing the coalition when we were having our closing, because he's a real estate lawyer. And he worked with Marie Riley and Pat Seiger, who were president and vice president at that time. And he thought it was such an interesting board that he would like to be on it.
Isn't that right? He volunteered.
And we've been thrilled. He's been on our board for a long time now.
And he's
has been very involved in the building aspects of it and is helping us through this law.
Well, that's terrific that you have a real estate lawyer on your board who wants to be there.
Stan Makaroff.
Do you pay these people anything?
No. Board members are volunteers.
Very nice.
And I have Mark Masterson from City Theater on our board. His children went here. We have a lot more young.
Everybody's young.
Young. wonderful board members now.
Uh-huh.
And
how many are on your board?
We have about 25 on the board.
Oh, that's so you get
a cross section.
Mm-hmm. And you
we
get
try
different
to get,
views. And that's very good.
They're good meetings.
Mm-hmm. And, how often do you meet?
Once every other month, but we have a lot of committee meetings.
Mm-hmm.
In we also have a very active parent-teacher organization.
Mm-hmm. Over and above, or under and below the board.
Uh-huh. So we're very fortunate. So I'm lucky I get to work with all these young people now, because as I had to say in the beginning, I'm getting older, but it's fun working with young people.
It would be.
And really helping them provide the best possible care for their children. So we've been in this building now since 1986, and it's been very exciting. We've grown. We have close to 200 children enrolled here. We have about 40-some regular staff plus 30-some student and part-time staff.
Do you get people from the kids from students from the university come do practicums here?
But we get work study students. One of my goals still is to help train more young people to work appropriately with young children, especially with infants and toddlers.
You have to raise the salary level of these people to get.
But at least if we can provide some training for them. But the salaries, but you can see when you're so staff intensive, if you have to, you know, in the public schools, you can have 25 to 30 children in a classroom with one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if we have 24 children in a classroom, we have three qualified teachers.
I know.
And in the infant toddler program, we have one to three to four for every, one teacher to every three to four children. Well, unless you charge such humongous prices that parents couldn't afford to send their children, it's a real catch-22.
What do you charge? What's your tuition?
Well, there are different tuitions. We have a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different tuitions for different ages and different, if they come 3 days, it's
what's
one thing.
The range? What's the least?
The most expensive is for full-time care for infants.
5 days a week?
5 days a week. And that's about $7,000 a year.
That's reasonable compared to
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
I understand Carnegie Mellon charges $15,000.
I don't think it's quite that. They went up.
$10,000. I don't know. Some
yeah.
huge
They went up a lot more when they did their new facility.
Right.
And then it's about, for preschoolers, it's close to $6,000 for full time.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you come three morning threes or two morning twos, it's a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $1,500 a year.